parsha, Parshas Mishpatim, outlines many of the details in the areas of nezikin, of damaging another person, of interpersonal relationships. And the truth is, as an introduction to what we're going to talk about today, just to consider the fact that we have social reforms, we have certain communal norms that we have accepted upon ourselves and certain laws that we understand to be for our own benefit. So why is it that the Torah has to go out of its way to highlight Ve'ela Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lifnehem? Why do we have to have our own system? What's wrong with the system of very just and very upstanding countries and citizens? Why can't we accept those? Why do we have to have our own system that's going to teach us how we should act? And in fact, all the systems that we have in place in our contemporary society are to make sure that we don't self-destruct, that we don't implode, to make sure that we have something that is able to uphold our civilization as we know it. But the reason why we have mitzvah satorah, the reason why we have Eila HaMishpatim Asher Tasim Lifnehem, is because our attitude is very different than that of the legal system of the rest of the world. And that is because when it comes to the rest of the world, we assume that they decide what societal norms dictate we need to have in place for each other to be able to live a nice and very harmonious lifestyle with one another. The Torah transcends all of that. The Torah has such a beautiful puzzle, such a beautiful tapestry, and the Torah gives us laws that are so exceeding any societal norms. We assume that the Torah's laws are applicable in any and every generation, and therefore, even if the societal norms might change, even if we live in a time when this might not seem reasonable to us, but this is what the Torah says is an absolute prohibition or an absolute obligation, because the Torah is supposed to be something that that transcends all communal, all societal agreement and understanding that we have with one another. So what's important to point out is the fact that when a person does an avera ben adam lachaveru, when a person hurts somebody else or damages someone else's property, it's not just that you've violated a law, and it's not just that you have something to answer to them, but ben adam lachaveru is also a violation against God himself. It's the same as doing anything else against God himself, which is just ben adam lamakom. But when it comes to ben adam lachaveru, we have the dual obligation. We have both of those perspectives that we have to think about the fact that not only are the laws of the Torah just to keep societal norms in check, but also to keep us and the Ribbono Shel Olam in check, to keep us doing the right thing. This is what the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim. Ki lo la'adam tishpitu ki la'Hashem. It's warning the judges. Keep in mind, when you have to adjudicate a case between two parties, when you have two people fighting about something and you are selected as the Dayanim, lo la'adam tishpitu. Don't think that if you charge the wrong person or if you underpay someone else in the process of the din Torah that you're doing, that you're adjudicating, don't think that you're just cheating him. Ki la'Hashem, it's all up to God himself. Rashi explains over there that often a dayan might have the mistaken impression that, okay, I like this one, I like that one, what's the big deal, we're all friends, we'll figure it out. No, it's not we're all friends, we'll figure it out. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam who's sitting there in the room, and you have to answer to him as well. When it comes to Choshen Mishpat, when it comes to Dinei Mamonos, when it comes to Dinei Nezikin, it's something that's not only between you and somebody else, it's between you and somebody else and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's something that needs to take a very serious perspective in our minds. So let's talk about briefly about this halacha of mazik mamon chavero, the halacha of someone who damages another person's property. We have a pasuk in Parshas Emor where the pasuk says, "Umake nefesh behema yishalmena," which means, if I cause damage to someone else's animal, to someone else's property for that matter, it doesn't have to be an animal, yishalmena, I must pay. I am held accountable, I'm held responsible for that, and how much I have to pay is a discussion. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Nizke Mamon, says the Rambam, behema shahaisa roet. When you have an animal that's grazing, v'nechnisa lisados ukramim, and now this animal enters into my private, my personal fields, he did not have any access, he wasn't supposed to be there, but it's my neighbor, and he happens to have his animals coming in and out. Alpha pisha adai lo hazika. The animal knows good and well not to damage anything. The animal knows not to eat my grass, not to graze on any of the produce that's growing there. Still, masrim bebalam gimel pa'amim, we will go to the owner of the animal three times and we will tell him, by the way, I was looking out my window the other day and I saw your animal was coming into my property. He jumped the fence. By the way, I was looking out again, I saw it. And three times in a row, we have to warn the person and say, even though your animal is not causing any harm yet, even though it hasn't done anything wrong, it hasn't eaten anything from my produce, from my property, but still, I warn him and I say, look, he doesn't belong on my property, I'm afraid something is going to happen. Im lo mana, and if the owner does not take that seriously, and he does not make sure to keep his animal within where it belongs, Yesh reshus lebal hasada lishchot osa shchita ksheira. I have every right, the next time the animal comes into my property, after warning them sufficiently, I have every right to take that animal and slaughter it. Velomer lebailim, and to tell the owner, look, I warned you, I tried, you were not paying attention, you were not heeding the call. Bo umachru habasar shalachem, go take the shechted animal that now is no longer alive, go sell it for whatever you choose to charge people, but we cannot have this animal roaming around here any longer. Mipnei, why do I have a right to do this? Asked the Rambam. Why do I have a right? I warned him. In the end of the day, his animal has not caused any harm yet, has not caused any damage, so why is it that I have a right to go and take law into my own hands? Mipnei, sha'asr la'adam lahazik ulashali mashahizik. Don't say, as the owner of that animal, what do you mean? Let's see what happens. Maybe nothing's ever going to go wrong. Maybe he'll never eat any of your property. Maybe he'll never destroy anything that's in your boundaries, and therefore we have nothing to worry about. If something happens later, I'll put money in escrow, and if anything happens later on, you take the money. There's no problem at all. Says the Rambam, no. Asr la'adam lahazik ulashalim ashehizik. I don't have a right as an owner or as a private citizen. I don't have a right to say, I'm going to put money aside, and if anything goes wrong, I'll pay. No. You have a absolute prohibition of being mazik someone else. Don't think that just because you're going to pay back later on, therefore it makes up everything that was done. You have an absolute prohibition against damaging other people's property. And therefore, says the Rambam here, we can say that if the animal is not heeding the call, if the owner is not taking me seriously, and I'm afraid that down the line some damage is going to happen, even if the owner is going to promise me he's going to pay, even if he puts money down in the bank in escrow and I'm not concerned about the money, but still, since it's usur for a person to be mazik shel chavero, even if he plans to pay for it, therefore, says the Rambam, I have every right to go and kill his animal. Again, has to be under the right circumstances, but this is what the Rambam teaches us. Now, the Achronim learn, it seems from the simple reading of the Rambam, that this is a biblical prohibition. You are biblically prohibited to damage someone else's property, either yourself, or to have your animal or your property damage their property, my car, or whatever it might be. I'm responsible for that. And don't just say that I'm going to pay later on. It's an absolute prohibition for a person to do that. The Choshen Mishpat, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Shinai and Ches, Kishem she'asar lignov o ligzol mamon chaver, the same way we know, Aseres HaDibros prohibit us from stealing from somebody else, so too it's usher to be mazik mamon chaver, so too it's usher to damage someone else's property, even though I'm not going to steal from them, even though I plan to pay back. The Rambam says clearly this is an absolute prohibition. Now, what happens if a person does damage someone else's property? What happens if you do damage someone else's property? How do you do tshuva? If we're saying clearly that you violate a biblical prohibition, you have to do tshuva for that. What is the tshuva process for somebody who damages someone else's property? Says the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. Avera shebin adam lachavero. When you deal with an avera, with some sort of violation that's between you and another person, kegon hamekalo l'chayotzeba, whatever you do to them that somehow infringes on their quality of life, eino nimchalo le'olam, number one, says the Rambam, the way to make a tshuva process from what you have done is, number one, to pay back for the terrible damage that you've caused or the terrible thing that you've done. And secondly, says the Rambam, v'yiratzeyu. This is a complicated process. It's not just I give the money, I write a check, and we're all finished. No. You have to go ahead and write the check, but also you have to do the multi-dimensional approach. You have an obligation also to discuss with that person, to have feelings of remorse, to regret what it is that you did, and paying back is not enough, says the Rambam. There is a very complicated process. Afal pisha hechzer l'hamamon shu chayivlo. Even if I already paid him, says the Rambam, you need to wait until the person is ready to forgive you for what it is that you've done. And he writes that this is based on a Gemara in Baba Kama and a Gemara in Yuma, where the Rambam basically extrapolates from there that until a person is misvade, until a person asks for an apology and has that apology accepted, it's not good enough just to pay back the money for the damages that I've caused, for all that's been incurred, but also I need to have that second step as well. So, mazik mamon chavero is something that seems to be a biblical prohibition. It seems to be something that needs a very serious tshuva process, just like other averos shebein adam lachavero, and it's not good enough just to pay back. That will not suffice. Now, the problem that the Achronim raised, the Rashash writes it in the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Yud Ches, Rav Asher Weiss just said the other day when he was here in the shul, we had a rabbinical conference for those who were here. It was a very special day. 50 Rabbanim got together. So Rav Asher Weiss mentioned in that gathering that he loves the Rashash in the back of the Gemara. The Rashash actually was a businessman, and he wrote comments on every page in the Gemara, except for Rav Asher Weiss, as you have to be Rav Asher Weiss to notice this. But he said that there are only two pages in all of Shas that he left out. And this is why he loves the Rashash, because he's one of the only commentators that actually has something to say on every single page in Shas. So the Rashash is an amazing personality, and the Rashash has in Ksubas Daf Yud Ches, This is something that's quoted also in the Minchas Chinuch and by other Achronim as well. The Stipler has in the beginning of Baba Kama that yes, it's very nice that we talk about damaging other people's property, and it's a very beautiful concept to discuss about how one does tshuva for it, but in the end of the day, all we have a pasuk in Chumash that teaches us is Maka Behemel Yishalmena. If you incur damages to somebody else's property, you have to pay for it. Where do we ever find a source in Chumash that you're not allowed to damage others' property? We don't find that anywhere. You look through all the pages of Chumash, nowhere does it say that I'm not allowed to cause damage to someone else. So maybe just the Torah tells us, that's fine, there's nothing wrong with causing damage to other people, but if you cause a damage, you have to go and pay for it. How do you know that there's something wrong with being Mazik, Mamon, Chaver in the first place? This is a very fundamental and basic question, but it's a very serious question. How could it be we don't have a pasuk in Chumash that tells us we are not allowed to damage other people's property? We have the whole Parshas Mishpatim telling us how to prosecute someone who's damaged others, but maybe that just means you have to prosecute them, you have to make them pay. How do you know that there's actually a prohibition to damage someone's property at all? So this is a major discussion that's mentioned in many of the Gedolei Achronim. So some Achronim want to suggest, based on a Gemara Bab Metzia, the Gemara says in Bab Metzia, if a person sees ra'amayim sheshotvim, if a person sees that the water is overflowing into someone else's property, and I have the ability, I have plenty of sandbags in my property, I can go quickly and get someone to throw them on the line, on the fence of my friend's property, and make sure that his whole property doesn't get destroyed. So in a case like that, says the Gemara, I have an absolute obligation, hareza goder lifneim, I have an obligation to go and put it out in front of the water that's raging, that's about to destroy the field. The Gemara says you have an obligation to do that. And that's part of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. The Gemara Bab Metzia there is discussing many aspects of Hashavas Aveda. So therefore the Achronim say, if part of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda is not just when I find someone's cell phone or pen in the street, I have to pick it up and get it back to them, if I see someone's wallet, I have to return it. Not only that, but says the Gemara, Hashavas Aveda goes so far as to say that I have to take a preemptive step to make sure that someone else's property is not damaged if I have the ability to save them. Well then, Kavul Chomer says the Minchas Chinuch and others, that I'm not allowed to go ahead and damage their property. If Hashavas Aveda means I have an obligation to save them from damage, then that obviously means as well by extension that I cannot cause the damage on my own. So that's what some say, that the whole Isser, the whole prohibition of Mazik Mamon Chavero really stems from the idea of Hashavas Aveda. That's the first approach that many Achronim say. And what's clear from that is, that from the fact that the Achronim have to go in that direction and find a new source of how we know you're not allowed to be Mazik Mamon Chavero. They come up with this idea that it's from Hashavas Aveda, as we'll see in a minute. Some others have different suggestions, but from that very discussion, it would seem very clear that they assume that the Isser of Lo Sigzol or Lo Signov applies only if I go to someone and I take away what they have and I keep it for myself. Mazik Mamon Chavero seems that it wouldn't be under that category of Lo Signov or Lo Sigzol, which is very surprising. Because I would have said, if you're not allowed to steal someone's property and take it for yourself, you're also not allowed to damage someone's property. But what you see clearly from the Achronim is that they don't assume that way. They assume we have to have a new source for the prohibition of Mazik Mamon Chavero, because Lo Signov and Lo Sigzol would not be sufficient, it wouldn't be good enough. And they came up with a new source, which was Hashavas Aveda. There are others who suggest that this actually would be a part of Lo Signov. Rabbeinu Yonah on Pirkei Avos writes that way, that Lo Signov and Lo Sigzol encompass many other scenarios outside of just simply taking someone else's property and keeping it for yourself, but it means damaging someone else's property as well. So again, there are many different approaches given. What exactly is the source for the Isser Mazik Mamon Chavero to damage someone else's property? Again, in our parsha, we talk about how you prosecute someone who damages someone's property, but how do we know in the basic level, how do you know that there's a prohibition at all, is not clear at all. So as we mentioned, some say it's from Hashavas Aveda. Other Achronim say maybe it's from the mitzvah Ve'ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. The Gemara describes the nature of that mitzvah is Mada Alach Sani L'Chavrach Losavit. If I don't want someone to do it to me, I shouldn't do it to them. So would you like someone to come and destroy all of your property? Probably not. So this might fall under that general category of Ve'ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. The Chafetz Chaim writes in his Sefer when he discusses some of the laws of Chashem Mishpat, Chafetz Chaim writes that this is part of the mitzvah of doing chesed. The same way we have a mitzvah, the Gemara Baba Kama learns out, v'hadatam levanecha, that we have an obligation to teach our children and to live our lives in a way of doing chesed for others. That's part of the mitzvah of alachta bedrachav, the Gemara says. So therefore we assume that the same way we have an obligation to proactively do chesed for others and be kind to them, so too we have an obligation to make sure we don't damage them and we don't ruin their lives. So these are all different suggestions, but what I find fascinating is that it's not actually clear. The Gemara talks a lot, the Psukim talk a lot about how much you have to pay if you cause a damage, or what the prosecution is going to be, how we're going to give you a penalty for something that you've done. when after all the Gemara doesn't really state clearly at all what the source of the prohibition is at all. So when we learn Parshas Mishpatim, it's a time to think about all these kinds of issues, and as we mentioned, that the system, the legal system that we have, is very different from the legal system of many other societies, many other cultures, but it's something that we uphold, and it's something that we take very seriously. So it's something to think about as we read these Parshios of Mishpatim and further, and we think about where we're holding in these kind of areas. It's something to remind ourselves of.